it's so good to see everyone here today. Dolores, it's great to see you here. We're glad you're here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the king's, while you're turning there, I'm going to be talking for a little bit. The king's name is Asa, but I'm from the south and I can't help myself. I'm just going to call him Asa. And he is king of Judah, which means that he is only king of that lower part of Israel that consists of Judah and Benjamin. A little bit of Simeon, but we'll notice in this chapter that most of Simeon's gone away into Israel. Israel are the 10 northern tribes then, and they're not following the Lord. They don't have the true God because they've got two gold statues that are idols. Now, they say these represent Jehovah, but they're idols. They don't have real priests because they have people who say, oh, you don't have to be a Levite to be a priest. That's from God's law. Look, if you just take our speedy priest course, you can become God's priest. They don't have teaching priests, because if they don't have the law, how can they teach it? And they don't have the law of God. They don't have any of the commandments of God. So there's no hope for this nation then, these 10 northern tribes. It's a sad situation. I want us to think about this, that the Spirit of God then comes to Azariah, the son of Obed. And Azariah now is going to speak the word of God to the king of Judah. This man is the great-great-grandson of David. He comes from some good folks. You know, he's got... And when you think about his great-grandchild and his son, you know, those are some other good people that will be in his family. And you wonder if he's going to do the right thing when God, through the prophet, comes to him. And the first thing the prophet says in verse 2, you see that in your Bibles? The first thing the prophet says in verse 2 is, hear me, listen to me. You know, we need to be listening to God first. That's the very first thing we need to be doing. And you wonder, why? What's so important about listening to God? You know, why should I be here this morning? Or why should I have been here 2 hours ago? Well, what's the value of getting up so early in the morning? And he goes on to say to the king the value. And he says in verse 2, and let this please sink down deeply into your ears. The Lord is with you while you are with him. There is a requirement on the part of me with respect to God helping. He goes on to say, if you seek Him, meaning God, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. The Lord is with you while you're with Him. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, God says to us that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God wants to reward you, but He wants to reward you in your seeking. And Christ in the Sermon on the Mountain will say, seek and you'll find. You know, ask and it'll be given. Knock, and the door is going to be open to you. But seek, seek, seek. Because of the next verse. Because for a long time in Israel, Israel's been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. You know, God's with you. And for us as Christians, we could certainly say that God is with us. We could also say that God's Word is with us. And when we have a question in our lives, and when we're not sure what to do, and when we are overwhelmed by troubles, we can go to His Word if we will diligently seek His Word. And we will get an answer every time. Every time. In verse 3, you know, you think, well, that's troubling. That's a troubling thing. But the statement that if we seek Him, then we'll be found by Him, is a statement that was given by His great-great-grandfather. And so this news is not a surprise to Asa. It's not like this is the first time he's heard with. Keep your finger here because this is our text. But go please to Psalm 32. I'd like for us to read that together, please. Psalm 32. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. You're going to seek God in a time when you may be found, David says. Surely, in a flood of great waters, meaning great troubles coming upon you, they shall not come near him. That is God's person. Because God is the hiding place and He will surround them and protect them. David himself says that God can be found and that we should be searching Him. And in this context, he says we should be praying to Him. That's where our focus should be. You know, in Psalm 91, since you're in the Psalms, and this is a Psalm of Jesus Christ Himself, Psalm 91, I'd like for us please to read verse 5. Psalm 91 and verse 5. Excuse me, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. You know, God doesn't say, you know, I'm going to make sure that Christ never has trouble. But what he does say specifically in verse 15 is, in his distress, the Christ, the Messiah, will call upon me, and I will deliver him. This is the promise of God unto him. There's this contradiction then of misfortunes to the righteous, and at the same time, there's God who is actively listening and is found in the tribulation. In the same way, you know, there's the statement of David, Asa's great-great-grandfather, to his son, this guy's great-grandfather. And the same information, if you're in 2 Chronicles 15, that's our text. But go back to 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Finding God. 1 Chronicles 28. And notice in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2, David arose to his feet and he says, listen to me, all right? And so David is speaking. And then verse 6, God says to David, I'm going to do this for you. And so verse 8, now therefore in the sight of Israel, in the hearing of God, be careful to seek out all the commands of God. And then verse 9, here's our key verse. David speaking to his son Solomon, and he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him. Does this sound familiar? And so then it goes on to say, if you seek Him, He'll be found by you. If you seek Him. And then he says, if you forsake Him, He'll cast you off forever. let's make it our aim then, brethren, and just as Asa did, to hear the word of God. When God comes to us and God speaks to us in His word, let's listen to those words. Let's be good people, just like His great-grandfather, just like His great-great-grandfather, just like He was. For a long time then, there had been no true God, no teaching priests, and no law. And so if you turn back in your text to 2 Chronicles, let's go now to chapter 13. I want us to look at the concept of no God, no priest who's teaching anything worthwhile, and no law. In 2 Chronicles 13, Abijah, who is this King Asa's father, is having war with the 10 northern tribes and Jeroboam the first. And times are rough for him, and things are not going well for Abijah. And Abijah has something to say. This is Asa's father, has something to say to King Jeroboam when they're both arrayed in battle. And beginning in verse 8, here's what he says to him. I want you to notice this. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord? This is Abijah, the God's king of Judah, talking to Jeroboam. The Jewish nation is the Lord's kingdom in the Old Testament. There's no question about that. And you, Jeroboam, you know, this king of the ten northern, you think you're going to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the descendants of David. And you're a great multitude, and with you are gold calves, gold idols, which Jeroboam the king, you made as gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord? And here's the interesting phrase right after that. Notice it in your text. And made for yourselves priests, just like the people of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams can be a priest of the things that are not God's. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken Him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. You know, we have not forgotten the Lord. That's His point. We're serving the Lord. We have a king. We are priests, as God had said. Therefore, they are able to perform their duties, their lawful duties, the law, as God had wanted. In verse 11, And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices, sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure table. Notice it's not the adulterated table, it's the right table. And the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. Now, this next part of the verse, if you want, you can underline this, you can put it in parenthesis in your text, you can highlight it with a color, because we keep, he says, the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken Him. You know, who's going to win this battle? You tell me what's going to happen next. Who's going to win this battle between Abijah, the king of Judah, who's following God, and Jeroboam, the king of the north, who is not following God? Who is going to win? Well, I know how that's going to end up. And the answer is that Abijah is going to defeat him soundly, even though he's going to put an ambush against him, and these people are going to be surrounded. And then when they're surrounded, they cry out to God, and God, in His mercy, will destroy them. And so it is to Asa. Asa, you need to seek God, verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2. Asa, you need to be just like your ancestor. You need to seek the Lord and do what's right. Verse 4. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 4. A long time Israel didn't have God at all. But when they did turn to the Lord God of Israel, verse 4, and sought Him, He was found by them. In those times there was peace. There was no peace to the one who went out, the one who went in. A great turmoil. Some of your translations, great vexation, were on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation, city by city. And God troubled them on every side with every adversity. During the time that Asa is a king, in Judah, there will be no less than 5 dynasties in, if I counted right, 5 dynasties in Israel. That's a period of great vexation for them. That's a time when they're not in God's favor. If only they had sought the Lord and done what was right. And so the prophet says in verse 7 to King Asa, he says to him, I want you to be strong and do not let your hands be weak. I heard a good brother this morning in the Bible class say, you know, we need to not be soft. And that's what this word means. It means don't be soft. Don't let your hands be weak. You know, when you shake somebody's hands and they're the type of person who pushes a pencil all day. You know, you shake their hand and sometimes they have the softest little hands. I'll put mine in that category, brethren. Look at these hands. These haven't done a day's work in their life. They haven't seen a callus. I don't think they've ever seen a callus. Isn't that terrible? I told somebody the other day, I'm a gardener. They said, shake my hand. And then this is a board member. And then he said, you're not a gardener. And that's true. But you, by contrast, brethren, verse 7, you be strong and don't let your hands be weak. You mean you'd be out there doing things. For your work shall be rewarded. And so that's the first part of this chapter, was the prophet of God comes to him and says, be strong, do the right thing, your work's going to be rewarded. And now, verses 8 to 15, he's going to do the right thing. Which is wonderful of Asa. Look what he does. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, meaning when he heard the words of God, the Bible says he took courage, right? He was strong, just like God said, be strong. And not only that, but what does he do? And he sat in front of the TV set and said, boy, I wish things were different. I don't see it there. He took courage and he did something. What does he do? He removes the abomination, the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. You know, he can't remove the idols from Israel, can he? But he sure can't remove the idols from Judah and Benjamin. And from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. You know, he had taken some of the cities of Israel, so he removes the idols there. He restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. You imagine that the altar of the Lord at the temple needed restoration, and he was the one who did it. And then the Bible says, verse 9, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who sojourned with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, and they came over to him in great numbers from Israel. Why? When they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Brother, I'm going to be clear on something. You know, we're not the ones who, Matthew chapter 23, verse 28, outwardly appear righteous, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That is not us. But by contrast, we are the people like Asa, where individuals from other places saw him and saw his godly life and saw the truth that was in him, the justness, the nobility, the purity, the honesty in him. And they said that they wanted to know the Lord God and they came to him. The power of the Lord. The power of the Lord's righteousness in the life of a godly person. Truth attracts. They saw that God was with him. And so, I think I've got a point here that I'd like to make, if it's okay with you, if you'll indulge me. And that is that because truth attracts people who are seeking truth, therefore, you be a person of truth. You take that and you put that into your life and you put that into your heart and you make God the number one influence in your life. And then nobody's got to preach about, are we going to be here on Wednesday night? You know, nobody's going to preach about, we need to be telling other people about Christ. Nobody's going to be preaching about, you know, when you're with your children, find a time every day when you can open your Bible and give them the Lord's words for those children's lives. Because God is going to be within you. He's going to be deep within you. Don't you dare move from the truth. You think about the pushes that were pushing against King Asa, and how the people just wanted to, I know you're so rigid, and why does it have to be God's way or no way? You know, why can't it be just a little bit of my way? But his great-great-grandfather, David, through the Holy Spirit, was the very one who said in Psalm 51 and verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart. And renew in me a steadfast spirit. Some of your translations, an upright spirit. Some of your translations, a loyal spirit. There's where God wants you to be, loyal to Him. Colossians 1, verse 23. If indeed you continue in your faith, continue in your faith, steadfast, continue in your faith, don't move from the truth. Established and firm, he says, not moved from the hope of the gospel. Beautiful words for us. And so he has success. And I want you to notice the great success. Verse 15, everyone pledges themselves to be God's people. Verse 15, all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought God with all their soul, and God was found by them. The very thing that he had wanted to do, that the prophet said, you do this, he had then implemented within his own kingdom to the best of his ability, as much as he could. And because of that, God was found by these people of Judah. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And the Lord gave them rest all around. You know, God doesn't want us so much just to sit around and say, oh, I'm so sorry for the things I've done wrong. God wants us to be out in our communities helping people. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be light, shining forth His glory so that He can be glorified in the world. How much of your life does God want? How much? Give me a percentage. Give me a percentage. Give me the percentage of your life that God wants. You know, God wants our actions as well. You know, give me a percentage of godly actions that God wants from you in your life. Does He want you to, your actions to be godly? You know, 90% of the time, you know, God wants you to be noble. He wants your nobility, your nobleness. He wants your most outstanding virtues to be in you and in your life. To what extent does He want that? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, when Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, he says, you do that so that you can, what? So you do that so that you can stand. So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he says, stand two more times. You know, God wants you upright and standing and vigilant and seeking Him. Absolutely. God wants you to be true and noble and just and pure. Why? Because, brethren, He's not a person, a physical person. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who in whom you live and you move and you have your existence. And because of that, God deserves more and God deserves better. And so in your text, in verse 16, does that apply to everybody in his life? Well, you know, that applied to his wife. He made sure that his wife, you know, he pulled her along and forced her to do the will of God. And his children. He does have a good son in Jehoshaphat. Let's say that, you know, he forced his children to do the right thing, and that was good enough for him. Well, the Bible says more. In verse 16, he removes Maacah from being, verse 16, the mother, and the some of your translations say the grandmother, which is correct, of Asa the king. His grandmother is the wife of Rehoboam, and he kicks her out from being the queen mother because she has made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cuts it down. He crushes that image. He burns it in the brook Kidron. You know, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. Sometimes the gospel, we say, well, the gospel is for everybody, but I don't really talk to my family much about that. You know, or I demand so much of my children who are Christians, but, you know, the family members who are not Christians, I'm not going to go talk to them at all. Or, conversely, we say, you know, the people in my family who are Christians, great, but the people in my family who are not Christians, we're all good buddies, and we all get together all the time. By contrast, I want you to notice what Asa does with respect to his own relative. She's a sweet little old lady, and an idolater. And because of that, she cannot be a part of his kingdom. She has to be removed from what she's doing. And so he will do it with even his own family. Do you have that strength of character where you say, I love you, Lord, more than these? Or is your point, I love you, Lord, and let me keep these. Let me keep these. You know, the temptation is that, you know, maybe I should just go along with, especially with a grandparent. I mean, wouldn't it be best if I just go along and get along, or with a child? Isn't it better if I just go along and get along with that child or a grandchild? But turn with me, and this is my final passage, and then this lesson is going to be yours. In Matthew chapter 10, please turn with me in Matthew chapter 10, Christ is speaking, Christ himself, and he says that he is here for purpose. So verse 32, we confess him before men. Verse 34, he's come to bring a sword. Verse 35, he's setting a man against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her brother-in-law. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. A man's foes will be those of his own household. You know, righteousness must go forward. And righteousness must go forward within this church. Righteousness must go forward in our family as well. If we're not for Christ, brethren, we are against him. The one who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who does not take up his cross. Not only do I know I'm going to have troubles in this life, but brethren, I know what's going to kill me. The one who does not take up his cross and follow after me isn't worthy of me. And the one who finds his life, his life's comforts, in family members even, will lose it. And the one who loses his life for my sake will find it. Here's the word of God then for us. You think about the life of Asa. And I'm finished, brother, with the sermon. Thank you for being so patient. I am your irregular preacher. I'm not the usual preacher for those of you who are visiting today. I want us to think about Asa. And Asa who followed God with all of his heart. And was able then, because he diligently sought the Lord, was found by him. I want you and I to be those people who are listening when God says, listen. Who then go into the Word and look at it carefully so that we can obey it. We determine in our hearts that we're going to be loyal and steadfast to God, even if our own family are not. Brethren, we can do this work, not because of who we are, but because of how great He is. Think about these things while we stand up, sing the songs.